Chapter 1. The Ancient Scroll. Cana loved her father's library. It had high windows with a fine view of the town and rippling bay of empire beyond. Her father's desk stood by those windows, covered with papers and books and curiosities he had picked up over the years. Count Sebastian Armelas worked there in the evenings, writing and sealing letters with his heavy gold signet ring. Cana liked to sit on the nearby couch, reading as he wrote. He had taught her to read when she was 3 or 4 years old, first in the High Nymarian tongue, as befit the daughter of an imperial count, then in Carish, the commoner's language, and then in the tongues of the Eastern Empire, Sedaic, Dizali, Kagarish, Sirikan, and Anshani. His library held books in all those languages and more, and Cana devoured them, working her way through his oak shelves over and over again, reading new books as her father bought them from printers in the imperial capital. Sometimes she spent all day in the library, and old Isaiah, the cook, brought her meals, and Cana read as she ate. "You read too much, daughter," her father said with a slight smile.
"No, I don't," she answered. "If you're meeting with the town's decemvirs, you should just tell me to use another room."
Count Sebastian lifted an eyebrow.
"And just how do you know that I'm meeting with the decemvirs?"
"Because," said Cana, "you always meet with petitioners at your desk. You don't care if I overhear those. But if you're meeting with the decemvirs, that means you're discussing criminal cases, which you don't want to discuss in front of me."
She stood from the couch.
"I'll go read in the solar."
Sebastian laughed, leaned down, kissed her forehead.
"Why do I even try to keep secrets from you, my clever child?"
Cana smiled, picked up her book, and left the library, her skirts whispering against the polished marble floors of the villa's corridors. Busts of long-dead emperors stood in niches, gazing down with stern marble eyes. Sebastian was a loyalist, and so he had busts of emperors like Soterius, who had ended slavery in the empire, or Heliorin, who had forced the Magi to abide by imperial law. Cana had read about them in her father's books of history. She opened the solar door and stopped. Her mother stood at the windows, gazing down at the sea with a scowl. Cana slipped away before her mother could notice her. She loved her father's library. It gave her a place to hide from her mother. Cana was 11 years old, and she could not remember ever hearing a kind word from her mother. Countess Laria Armelas was the opposite of her husband, short where he was tall, slender where he was thick. She had long black hair and icy blue eyes that seemed to burn when she was angry. And she got angry a lot. Cana's earliest memory was her mother's fury. She had been no more than 2 or 3, so young that she had not yet learned to read. Her mother had been alone in the dining hall, practicing simple sorcery, making a goblet float, summoning light from her fingers, conjuring gusts of wind. Cana blundered into her, disrupting her concentration. The goblet fell from mid-air and shattered against the floor.
"You stupid girl!"
screamed Laria. Her backhand sent Cana to the floor atop the shattered goblet.
"Useless brat!" she started to kick. "I wish I'd never born you. I wish I had never met your father. Get out of my sight. Get out of my sight. If you interrupt my concentration again, I'll beat you so bloody that..."
Cana fled, wailing, and hid herself beneath the table. Her father came, and Sebastian and Laria shouted at each other. After Laria stalked from the room, Sebastian carried Cana, still weeping, to her bed.
"Why does she hate me so much?"
whispered Cana. Sebastian hesitated before he answered.
I don't know.
She spent much more time with her father after that. But her mother still did things to her. Laria knew a spell that let her reach into another's mind, and she used it upon Cana whenever she had the chance, digging through Cana's thoughts and turning her into a puppet. Cana hated it, hated the feeling of her mother's thoughts digging through her mind like wet, groping fingers. She loathed how the spell forced her to do, without question, whatever Laria commanded. And she grew to hate her mother, the rage becoming hard and sharp. One day, when Cana was 7, Laria held her immobile in the grip of her sorcery. "Do you know," murmured Laria, taking Cana's chin in her hand, "why I had you?" Cana said nothing. She couldn't, not with Laria's spell wrapped about her mind. "I wanted to go back," sighed Laria, black hair sliding over her pale face. "They put me out, only 4 years into my novitiate. They said I wasn't strong enough, that I could never wield the power of a full magus. But if I had a talented child, then the magisterium would have to take me back." She growled and slapped Cana across the face. "But you're useless," she said. "Not a spark of arcane talent. Utterly useless. How I wish I had never had you. I should have purged my womb of you, spared myself the bother." Cana's fury writhed inside her like something alive. "And your father," said Laria. "I cannot believe I let myself be chained to that snivelling weakling. It is not fair. I was meant for so much more, for greater things, and to waste my life with a useless child and a pathetic weakling of a husband." Cana's rage flared, and she felt her mother's spell shiver.
"Don't talk about him like that," Cana shouted. "He's better than you."
Laria flinched, as if she had been slapped.
"Don't talk,"
she said, making a clenching gesture, the chains of her will tightening against Cana's mind. "I command you not to talk." But Cana's anger could not be denied, and she thrust it against her mother's will. The spell shivered again, and then shattered. Laria stumbled back, eyes wide with shock and perhaps a touch of alarm.
"I hate you," said Cana, clawing at her mother's skirts. "I hate you, I hate you, I hate you."
"Get off me," said Laria, shoving, and Cana fell to the floor.
"What is this?"
Sebastian hurried towards them, expression thunderous.
"Husband," said Laria, voice heavy with contempt, "you've returned early from town. I suppose the rigorous duties of the Count of the Harbour cannot fill your entire day."
"You were casting spells on her again, weren't you?"
said Sebastian, placing himself between his daughter and his wife. Laria lifted her chin.
"What if I was? The little whelp is useless for anything else."
"Enough," said Sebastian, voice quiet. "That is the last time you will cast spells upon her."
Laria laughed.
"Oh, what?"
"Or I'll report you to the Magisterium for practicing unlicensed sorcery," said Sebastian.
"You wouldn't," said Laria. "You're a loyalist, not a restorationist or a militarist. You hate the Magisterium and won't have anything to do with it."
Sebastian took a step towards Laria.
"Cast a spell on my daughter again, and you'll find out just what I'll do."
Laria met his gaze for a moment, and then stalked away. Sebastian sighed and scooped up Cana.
"Did she hurt you?"
"She didn't hit me," said Cana.
He carried her to the library, sat upon the couch.
Cana leaned against his shoulder, crying softly.
Why does she hate me so much? Said Cana at last.
I suppose you're old enough to understand now, said Sebastian. Do you know what the Imperial Magisterium is? Cana had read about it.
It's the Brotherhood of the Magi, the sorcerers, the only ones allowed to use sorcery inside the Empire.
Sebastian nodded. Before I met your mother, she was a novice of the Magisterium. The novices take a 7-year course of study before they become full magi. The Magisterium expelled your mother in her 4th year. She was simply not strong enough with sorcery to become a full magus. When she married me, I thought she had gotten past that, but I was wrong.
Why did she marry you? Said Cana. If she hates you as much as she hates me.
She thought I was a different kind of man than the one I really am, said Sebastian. I am the lord of House Amalas, and a count, besides. Do you know the difference between a lord and a count? Cana thought back to her reading.
A lord is a noble of the Empire, she said, remembering. But a count is a noble appointed to an office by the Emperor himself.
I was already appointed harbour master of Arisha when I met your mother, said Sebastian. I think she hoped that I would rise higher, become the commander of a legion, or maybe the Lord Governor of an important province.
Someone powerful enough to force the Magisterium to take her back? Said Cana.
Yes, said Sebastian. Very good. But I am not that sort of man, Cana. I have no stomach for imperial politics. Arisha is my home, and I am content to stay here.
And Mother hates it here, said Cana.
Yes, said Sebastian. She would rather return to Arterfell and the mother house of the Magi, but they will not take her. So she takes her frustrations out upon me and upon you.
Do you wish you had never married her? Said Cana.
Sebastian smiled. How could I? He said, touching her hair. For without her, I never would have gotten you. Cana smiled. But this has gone on for too long, said Sebastian. I am ashamed that I let it go on for so long. If she strikes you again, tell me, and I will put a stop to it. And if she uses her sorcery against you, tell me, and I will go to the Magisterium.
I don't think she will, said Cana. I made her stop. I got angry and pushed her out of my head.
You did, said Sebastian, surprised. Well, that takes great mental strength.
She said bad things about you, said Cana. I got angry.
You defend me more than I deserve, said Sebastian. But if Laria lifts hand or spell against you, tell me. I will not let it pass. But her mother left them alone after that. Perhaps Sebastian's threat daunted her. Or Cana's unexpected resistance alarmed her. After that day, Laria ignored them, spending almost all her time shut away in her rooms, practicing her spells or corresponding with the few magi who did not ignore her. She emerged only to appear with Sebastian and Cana at public functions and left as soon as possible. As Cana grew older, more than once she wondered, why her father simply did not divorce Laria. The gods knew he had endured enough. Perhaps he thought Laria could change. Perhaps part of him still loved her. Cana did not love her mother, not even a little. Eventually, she realized that her father preferred reading and thinking and writing to any sort of action, and would put off confronting Laria as long as possible. She loved him nonetheless. But Laria left them alone, and Sebastian continued with his duties and his scholarship, and Cana worked her way through his library. Sebastian hired new tutors for her, and she began learning new languages. It was a pleasant enough life.